WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
I'm Rena Roy. The U.S. announced it will send Ukraine cluster munitions. Ukrainian leaders have been asking for the enhanced weapons to help defend against Russian attacks, but the U.S. has deferred. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan says the U.S. weighed the risks and concerns they pose to civilians.
There is also a massive risk of civilian harm if Russian troops and tanks roll over Ukrainian positions and take more Ukrainian territory and subjugate more Ukrainian civilians because Ukraine does not have enough artillery. That is intolerable to us.
Ukraine says it will work to clear the cluster bombs where they're used. The white gunman who killed 23 Hispanic shoppers and employees at an El Paso Walmart in 2019 was sentenced to 90 consecutive life sentences today. Patrick Crucius earlier pled guilty to 90 federal charges that included hate crimes. He still faces state trial. New York park officials say they will use drones to help look for sharks off the coast of New York's Long Island. This is ABC News. The investigation is closed in the incident between Britney Spears and security for an NBA star in Las Vegas.
In a Las Vegas police report obtained by ABC News, detectives say not only did they determine that no force or violence was used against Britney Spears, but it was Spears' own hand that hit herself in the face when she touched NBA star Victor Wembanyama. He pushed her hand away, and that led her hand to hit her own face. She says she ran up to him as a fan to say hello. He says he had no idea it was Britney Spears, and he felt somebody grab him from behind. His security reacted, but police say it was actually her own hand that hit her. The case is closed with no charges. Alex Stone, ABC News.
TikTok and five content creators are asking a federal judge to block Montana's statewide ban on the video sharing app while their lawsuit against the state is pending. Montana passed the first-of-its-kind ban over concerns the Chinese-owned app could provide information on U.S. citizens to Beijing. Rena Roy, ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what you need to know in Northeast Wisconsin.
An Appleton house fire causes $170,000 in damage. The Appleton Fire Department received a 911 call around 8:20 p.m. on Thursday. They arrived at the scene on the 200 block of South Fidelis to find very thick smoke coming from the back of the house. Crews had the fire under control in about 30 minutes. No one was injured, and the cause of the fire will be investigated.
There are new details about a man who was found dead in a ditch on the 4th of July. He's been identified as 74-year-old Jan Richmond of Sheboygan. Authorities say he was walking on the shoulder when he was struck from behind by a minivan driven by a 37-year-old man. The incident took place on the 2800 block of Enterprise Drive in Sheboygan around 8 a.m. Richmond was pronounced dead at the scene, according to the Sheboygan County Sheriff's Office. The driver of the minivan was apprehended. Pete Schwabe, Civic Media News.
Hey, this is Penny Pincher Bob, and I love a good rummage sale. If you love them too, you can list your Saturday rummage sale right here on this radio station. Your 15-second Saturday rummage sale ad runs Friday all day and Saturday morning for only $50 per week. If you would like to list your Saturday rummage sale, call us now, 715-629-9501. The deadline for each week is Wednesday at noon. Operators are standing by now. Please have a valid credit card ready to go. See ya!
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show. On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
We spend $500 on our infants and toddlers on average. If you go to the other countries, you're talking about $11,000 on average in Europe and the other developed countries. It makes a difference. They end up spending less on their K-12 system. They end up spending less on their colleges. They end up spending less on jail.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba.
Please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke. Unless and until you know history, going right to the front lines of history in the making. Follow up on the story yesterday about Governor Evers' vetoes, very, very creative and skillful vetoes of the budget that the legislature tried to ram through him. Robin Voss, the illegitimate speaker of an illegitimate majority, Republican majority in the assembly. Without fair maps, that's what you get. They have a 2/3 majority in the Senate. They don't even get half the statewide votes. They have just a few seats short of a 2/3 majority in the Assembly. Fortunately, we've kept them away for now. He was calling, according to this news broadcast that I saw, from Brussels, Belgium. I've been to Brussels, a beautiful city. Why don't you decide? Do you think that Voss paid for his plane ticket? Do you think maybe you paid for his plane ticket? And maybe I paid for his plane ticket with taxpayer money. He's very, very, very generous in spending taxpayer money where he wants to. But the question I have is Robin Voss, who's a Putin-esque, illegitimate character, gerrymandered, wouldn't exist with fair maps. What is he doing in Brussels? What is he doing in Brussels, the headquarters of the EU? News broadcast, I haven't the faintest idea. The news broadcast said he was, quote, speaking to European leaders, end quote. Now, that is a laugh. If he's doing that at our expense, and I suspect he is, suspect he flew over at our expense, want to make sure he didn't fly business class. We should check that out. Like to know what restaurants he's going to in Brussels. There's some expensive ones. He's having himself a vacation is what he is. And what is he going to talk to European leaders about? Represents Mount Pleasant. Well, maybe he can talk to him about Foxconn. Maybe he can go, well, there's this Chinese company, and all they want is $4 billion, but you can get them down to probably $1 billion, and they may manufacture something someday. Build a lot of roads, put in a lot of electrical infrastructure for them, turn over some of the best developable land in your country or state, and then they'll own it, and you won't get jack in return. Maybe he'll say that, but they'll look at him over there. They There's some sharp cookies over there, and they're not going to put up with this. I really would like to know what he thinks he's doing over there. What does he think he's doing over there? Well, here's what he said. There's a statement he issued, of course, attacking Evers, and then saying, well, he is considering a constitutional amendment to get rid of the line item veto, of the Vanna White veto. The problem for him is that for a constitutional amendment to be presented to the electorate, it has to pass two consecutive sessions of the legislature. If we have fair maps after this particular session, a fair map legislature isn't going to go along with him. Secondly, let's say it passes. There was a constitutional amendment in 1990 taking away the most extreme version of the Vanna White veto, which let the government, the governor, move letters from line to line to make new words and new appropriations. But let's say that the constitutional amendment is put on the ballot, and let's say it does pass. It's going to be two consecutive legislative sessions. Then it goes to the electorate. Let's say it passes. That will forever then bind future governors, including Republican governors who use it to stick it to the state. It'd be very nice if it didn't exist for Republican governors and only for Democratic governors. I'm being a little facetious. One day we may have responsible Republican governors again, like Lee Dreyfus. I don't know. I don't see any soon. The other thing he says he's thinking of is a new bill. Well, we're just going to put in a new bill outside of the budget process. And that bill, what do you think the provision is that he's targeting? The provision that he's targeting is the tax cut. What Evers did, it was great. The original budget bill that the Republicans put in divided us into four categories for tax purposes. One, everybody over 400 some odd grand, up to infinity. The second one, under 400 grand, but more than an amount under some, I think it was in about 80 or 90, something like that. The third was something over 30 some odd grand. And the last one was everybody else at the bottom. What Evers did was keep the tax cuts intact for people at the lower end of that ladder. He vetoed the tax cuts for the people at the upper end of that ladder. The fact of the matter is that our tax structure is very competitive in this state. And it's not wrong. In fact, it's right for people who are doing well and enjoying Wisconsin, enjoy living here, to pay their fair share. But let's say Voss does put another bill in. And he clearly can do it because he has a two-thirds majority in the Senate and almost a two-thirds majority in the Assembly, and all he needs is a majority. So he sends it up, another clown bill. Evers already said, I would veto it again. And then the question is, can they override the veto? They can't override the veto for what Evers did with the budget. They can't override the veto. My favorite is Evers jotting out the two, the zero, and the dash, so that education funding is extended for 402 years to 2425. That was terrific. That's getting their fur up. One of the mistakes the Republicans made the last time they put a constitutional amendment in was the governor can't do certain things to letters, but it's silent about numbers. And that's why they tripped up. Well, but let's get back to what the real issue is, okay? Say the bill goes through again, Evers vetoes. In the Senate, they have a two-thirds majority, assuming every senator votes. They'd override his veto in the Senate. They also have to override his veto in the House, the Assembly, I should say. We only have a couple of vote cushion against a veto-proof majority there. It would mean that all of our people would have to be on board. They'd have to actually show up and vote. They would have to do the right thing. And this is my message to them as a Democrat, as a Wisconsinite, and as a former chairman of this party for two terms, show up. We don't want to see anybody dilly-dallying, going on vacation, and not showing up. Not showing up. We're going to the lines. Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling us from Monday, Wisco Paul.
Happy Friday, Matt. Thanks for the good show. I call him Lion Crying Robin Voss. Screwing the taxpayer is Foxconn, also hiring Gableman to take my vote away and getting in on the big lie the 2020 election was fixed and creating all this chaos in the state. So, you know what? Tony helped me out as a taxpayer. He helped everybody out with the taxpayer except the top end. So, you know, I hope he brings forth another bill and it gets vetoed again. And the education part is, that's pretty cool also. So, you know, the bottom line is you can't stand the fact, Matt, that he's smarter than Voss and the Republicans.
Right.
And they're gerrymandered anyway. And these guys are just, you know, you just get sick of their crying. It's okay for them to okay Foxconn and Gableman and all this other stupid stuff. But when the tide is turned against them, then they start crying. I mean, just, you ever see such crybabies? I haven't. Anyway, thanks for your show, Matt. And
Paul. Thanks for the great call, as always, my friend. Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Bill?
Oh, Matt, you made my day. I just got off the phone with Robin Voss's office because I was listening to your show. So I thought, well, let's dive into this. So I get a hold of his office, and lo and behold, I get a live person. And I forgot what his name was. He was an assistant to Voss. He represented Voss. And I said, is Robin Voss in Brussels? And he said, yeah, I think so. And I said, is he representing Wisconsin? I don't know. And I said, well, who's paying for the trip? I don't know. And I said, well, you know, I pay his bills. And he said, you pay his bills? He says to me. And I said, yeah, I'm a taxpayer. I just like to know how my money's being spent. And he said, well, I don't know. I said, so let me just draw a conclusion on who I'm talking to. You represent somebody. You don't know who they are, where they are, what they're doing, or how they're getting paid, but you answer his phone. Boy, you got a job I want. You have to do absolutely nothing and patronize the people that call, but you will not even tell us what the guy that you're representing is doing, how he gets paid, what he's doing in Brussels. Oh, you got $1 million job. So to all your listeners out there, Matt, I hope they hear me. This is what we're paying money for. This is the man that represents the state of Wisconsin, and his people that work for him have no idea what he's doing, how he's getting paid, or whatever. They're clueless. They're clueless. That's a paid guy that works for him. People of Wisconsin, we got to demand, not ask. What we should say, as a group of taxpayers, Robin, you got two choices. Resign now and no prosecution. Get out before the get is good. There's a new sheriff in town, Robin. And I'm sorry, you can dilly-dally. You can make all these things. And then the guy has the chutzpah to say, well, he owns a business. I said, I didn't call about popcorn. I called about what he represents. And I'm doing it while I'm listening to you on the air. I thought, I can't wait to get back to you, man. So, Matt, you have
Bill, thank you very much, my friend. We're going to the break. Wonderful call. Thank you. Everybody else, stay on the line. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back in.
Tell them that God's going to cut you down. Tell them that God's going to cut you down. Tell them that God's going to cut you down.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show. On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Democratic candidates are held to a higher moral standard. I don't see Representative McCarthy calling for George Santos to shamefully leave the halls of Congress. It is never principle above party. It is never principle and policy above person and personal achievement for Republicans.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
It feels like they're trying to pit the teachers against the parents, and all of us can come together to say, look, stop trying to, you know, divide and conquer and work with us. And they're still trying to hide and say, well, the JFC cut it. There's nothing I can do. Yes, there is. You can vote for the amendment to continue child care counts.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast. Slight chance for scattered rain showers tonight, otherwise overcast. Lows dip down to about 61. Southerly winds, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Tomorrow, chance for scattered thunderstorms, 78. Lows dip down to about 58. Tomorrow night, mainly clear. Mainly sunny skies and calm Sunday, with daytime highs approaching 80. 88, chance for scattered rain showers Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 79.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
10 to 12,
As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Town Call.
On WGBW.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Now we go right to the lines. Mark from the SAC, my friend. Thanks for calling us reminding, Mark.
Yeah, I came across an interesting line from a publication here. I'd like to read it to you. The radical right's totalitarian methods in the campaign and since seriously threatened American freedom. The mutual confidence essential to free government is slowly being cut away by propaganda. Step by step, decent citizens come to tolerate attacks upon the loyalty of loyal men.
That's very good. Very good, Mark. I think that nails it.
And where that came from is actually from Look magazine, January 26th of 1965. And that was by Frank Church, who stated that. And that some of these articles, there's actually four articles in this about the frightened right, and that how history is repeating itself today with these same guys. I mean, that quote I just gave could be written today.
I'll tell you something. Frank Church was a great senator from Idaho, Democrat. He is a relative, a distant relative, a friend of mine that lives right around here in my neighborhood. He was a great, great senator. And that's exactly right. And you know what? The lesson I take out of that, Mark, is that you have to be eternally vigilant to keep your liberty, to keep your democracy. They said that back in 1965. Jack Kennedy had been assassinated 2 years before that. Bobby Kennedy and Dr. Martin Luther King were assassinated several years after that. Eternal vigilance is the price of safety of keeping our democracy. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for that great call. Well, this is an odd one. This is a real odd one. I want to dig down on this. Marjorie Taylor Greene, by secret vote, has been expelled from the Freedom Caucus. That's right. You heard it right. Marjorie Taylor Greene has been expelled from the Freedom Caucus by secret vote. What, you think she suddenly became a liberal or a moderate? No. Or a Democrat? No. Marjorie Taylor Greene supports QAnon. Marjorie Taylor Greene has spread and supports various conspiracy theories, including anti-Semitic conspiracy theories. The reason that they expelled her and the Freedom Caucus loves QAnon. They love these kinds of conspiracies. The reason that they expelled her, believe it or not, is because they think that she is too close to Kevin McCarthy. Now, let's unpack that a little more. The Freedom Caucus are all, at least on the surface, in the Republican Party. They run as Republicans. Kevin McCarthy is a speaker. Took him 15 ballots to become speaker. you had to suck up to and give away the store, put every nut in the Congress and powerful committees and so forth. But they think she's too close to Kevin McCarthy and she supported him on the debt deal. Many people don't know this, but there were something like 17 members of the Freedom Caucus who pledged to vote against extending the national debt. And remember, only to cover things that had already been appropriated and spent, some of them under Donald Trump. So it's one of these twofers. You vote for it, you spend the money, and then you have to vote again on whether you're going to pay the bill. There's only a couple of countries in the world that do it that way. Kenya is another one. We're the only major country. Stupid thing. It's got to be changed. They were willing, 17 of them hate the United States so much, they were willing to put us into default. That's a surefire prescription for encouraging China to invade Taiwan, encouraging Putin to do even worse things in foreign policy, to split our friends and buttress our enemies. And these people in the Freedom Caucus who do not believe in the United States, it's not just that they don't believe in democracy. They don't. They are not loyal to the United States. And the second thing is Marjorie Taylor Greene got too uppity. Yes, she was pro-QAnon. Yes, she was pro-conspiracy theory, including anti-Semitic theories, which were dear to the Freedom Caucus. But she didn't just sit in the background and smile. She decided she might have some ideas on her own. What they like is people like Carrie Lake and Lauren Boebert who smile. They're basically hostesses in hospitality suites, walking around with a tray of cocktail wieners and smiling. That's all they want. Marjorie Taylor Greene actually presumed to say what the rest of the Freedom Caucus believes and says covertly. And when push came to shove, she's so close to Kevin McCarthy and sucks up to him so much that she voted and she supported him in the debt extension limit. For that, she gets expelled. Now, when you have two adversaries expelling one another, you sit back and enjoy it. I'll tell you, an old adage is if your enemy's committing suicide, sit back and don't interfere. An adage in law frequently is the judge rules in your favor, leave the courtroom immediately. The other side's going to get up and shout and moan and everything. And some judges can be a little weak and say, well, maybe I'll reconsider it. If you're not in the courtroom, they can't reconsider it. When you win, you get out of there immediately so it can't be reversed. When the Freedom Caucus, which is an enemy of the United States, expels one of their own for being simply uppity and talking on her own about their issues, not smiling in a hospitality suite, and getting, quote, too close to Kevin McCarthy, end quote, and supporting him on the debt deal, not maybe because she believed in it or she cares about the United States, but because she likes sucking up to McCarthy, they flat out expelled her. You know, that kind of internecine warfare ultimately is going to drag them down. They're intellectually bankrupt. They're morally bankrupt. And now they've got rid of one of their worst, expelled her by secret vote. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino.
Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show.
On WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Rena Roy. The U.S. announced it will send Ukraine cluster munitions. Ukrainian leaders have been asking for the enhanced weapons to help defend against Russian attacks, but the U.S. has deferred. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan says the U.S. weighed the risks and concerns they pose to civilians.
There is also a massive risk of civilian harm if Russian troops and tanks roll over Ukrainian positions and take more Ukrainian territory and subjugate more Ukrainian civilians because Ukraine does not have enough artillery. That is intolerable to us.
Ukraine says it will work to clear the cluster bombs where they're used. The white gunman who killed 23 Hispanic shoppers and employees at an El Paso Walmart in 2019 was sentenced to 90 consecutive life sentences today. Patrick Crucius earlier pled guilty to 90 federal charges that included hate crimes. He still faces state trial. New York park officials say they will use drones to help look for sharks off the coast of New York's Long Island. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what you need to know in Northeast Wisconsin.
The woman accused of killing and beheading Shad Therion was in Brown County Court yesterday. Civic Media's Stuart Jay Waddles has more.
Taylor Shabusiness stood before the judge with her lawyer Christopher Fralick, who filed a motion for a new competency hearing. Judge Thomas Walsh granted the hearing, ruling in favor of the defense. This will be the third evaluation for Shabusiness. The first two found her fit to stand trial. The court denied a second motion by the defense to delay the trial. Jury selection is scheduled to start July 21st.
Since there were no winners in Wednesday night's Powerball drawing, the next drawing could be record-breaking. Powerball officials say it's possible the new jackpot could exceed $590 million, which would crack the top 10 for the biggest drawings of all time. Dare to dream. Pete Schwabe, Civic Media News.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
Woo-hoo!
Starting at 6 AM, The Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at BelongingBeginsWithUs.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at BelongingBeginsWithUs.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going to go to the lines in order. Do not hang up. I'll get to all of you in order. So Nate of Germantown. Nate, my friend, thanks for calling. What's your mind today? Nate of Germantown.
Hey, Matt. Just wanted to call and have a friendly conversation with you, sir. I enjoy listening to your show, although I don't agree with everything you have to say. That's why I got a few questions for you, that I was wondering if you could answer for me. Just get your thoughts on some things, sir.
Yeah, go ahead. Nate. What's in your mind today?
The number one question that I have that I ask my Democrat friends of mine, who we don't agree and we go back and forth on some issues, is what is your stance on where do you draw the line between what the government should do for its people? And what is a personal responsibility? Could you touch on that a little bit? And I just had one more follow-up question for you regarding the Supreme Court ruling on the student loans, if you will.
Okay, just give me that real quick, Nate. We got a lot of people on the line. Then I'll hit you on both. Go ahead.
Yes,
what's the second one?
Yes, sir. The second question is, what makes President Biden wanting to push this student loan payback, what makes that constitutional? Because in my mind, I think it's immoral and unconstitutional that two-thirds of the people who don't have college degrees themselves are paying for, because this money's coming out of taxpayer dollars, are paying
okay,
for.
Okay, let me respond to both of those and then get on. Excellent questions, Nate, and thank you. You're a principal conservative. I appreciate your calling in. When it comes, where do you draw the line between what government should do and what is personal responsibility? There have been centuries of philosophers who talked about that. I can't do that all on a radio show. But basically what I'd say is this. We are in a capitalist democracy. You can't have democracy without capitalism. You can't have capitalism without democracy. But we also have an enlightened capitalist system with safety nets. You do not want to see people starving. You want to see people employed and housed. And I think the balance that we're striking right now, and up until now, it's been sustained by a good yin and yang between center-right and center-left people of great integrity. Recently under Trump, it went a little bit skewed, actually quite a bit skewed. But basically, Franklin Roosevelt set the paradigm for the present, and I think that Joe Biden has done a very good job continuing it. Secondly, with student loans, it's not unconstitutional for the simple reason that the Supreme Court pointed out that there is a statute that they said was constitutional that said that in a pandemic or in any kind of an emergency as determined by the government, they can alter the terms of it. And the question was, is forgiveness more than alteration of the terms? Not a question of constitutionality. It's a question, is did the statute go far enough? Thanks an awful lot for calling. Next up is Bob of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling, Bob. What's in your mind today?
My mind is, I see a lot of coverage and they're talking about the trials of the president, and particularly if he's convicted of espionage, does that not bar him from seeking future political office, any office of honor? And likewise, if he's guilty of insurrection, the 14th Amendment would seem to prohibit him from seeking any office of honor. So either of those two trials could get him off the ballot. Well, or will the Republicans place games on that?
Right. Excellent question. Let me just hit it quick and go to the next caller. First of all, you're half right. In other words, the 14th Amendment says that if he's a part of an insurrection and he's convicted of that, he can't hold a public office again. That's exactly right. And a lot of people have argued he should be barred right now. When it comes to espionage, you're not going to believe this, but a felony conviction for anything else other than insurrection does not constitutionally bar him from running. There was a mayor of Boston named Curley back in the 20s who was convicted of bribery. He took a big bribe and he gave a contract to a construction company to build a sidewalk out into a forest. And he went to prison and he ran from prison. And he won. So the sad thing is that Donald Trump could be convicted of espionage and be in prison and could win. What the Constitution assumes is that the electorate has some dignity, that the electorate has some intelligence looking at this. They're not going to vote for a guy like that. But I got to tell you right now, the polls in the Republican primary, largely because the other Republican candidates are so bad, he's ahead of the field, even with these indictments. It's very sad. Excellent call. Thank you so much. Stephanie of Madison, my friend. You're next. What's in your mind today, Stephanie?
Oh, hey. Well, I'll tell you. One reason I love this show is because I'm learning I'm being affected because I find myself really reacting emotionally to questions from people. And seeing and hearing you handle people the way you do in a straightforward and honest and positive way, it's really helping me. It is. But here's my
Thank
question.
You.
It's kind of I won't go into the background of it, but I want to know get your response. Somebody says, "No, we do not have a democracy. We have a republic." That's my question. I'm going to hang up and listen, okay?
right.
The word republic, remember Benjamin Franklin, when they came out of the Constitutional Congress, a woman said to him, what kind of government will we have? And he said, a republic, if you can keep it. What's a republic? A republic is different from a monarchy. In a monarchy, you have, like King Charles, England has a monarchy, not a republic. They have an established religion. They have a king. We over here in the First Amendment bar the establishment of religion. We have separation of church and state. We have an elected president. He works for us. We don't work for him or her. Same with the Senate. Same with the Congress. That's a republic. Now, you could have different kinds of republics. We have a republic that is a democracy. What does that mean? Democracy comes from two Greek words, demos and kratos. Demos is people, kratos is power, power of the people. So we have the most open democracy and the oldest democracy, believe it or not, the oldest ongoing democracy in the world, where we have elections. And we go to the polls and the majority puts in the president, the senator, the congressman, and all this kind of stuff. You could have something like the House of Lords in England. Their lower house, a parliament, is a democracy. You vote for parliament. They're like congressmen. In the upper, in the House of Lords, which is like our Senate, you inherit, and many of them inherit their seats. Their father was the Duke of Norfolk. They are now the Duke of Norfolk. They get to sit in the House of Lords. Bishops of the church in England get to sit in the House of Lords. The reform that the Labour Party put in is that they have appointed lords that Labour will put in or that the Tories will put in, but they can only serve for life and their sons or daughters can't inherit it. So, but it's still overall a democracy because of parliament. So that's the difference. A republic different from a monarchy. We have an elected president and that's what we have here, and a Congress and a Senate. But democracy is appointment, direct appointment in this case, by people through elections. I mean, you could have, for instance, a republic that has political parties and they appoint their various representatives to the congressional role and all that. And in effect, in England and a lot of European countries, it's almost like that, because if they don't back you, you don't get elected. We are a pure democracy and a pure republic, thank God. Gina Beauclair, my friend, thanks for calling. What's in your mind, Gene?
Boy, outstanding show again today, Matt. I have to take notes all the time because I'm learning. Thank you so much for
you know,
all of your knowledge and education. I just want to call, and I like to call or encourage a lot of people, you know, to do what Bill's doing. I do the same thing. I learned years ago that if your representative does not hear from you, they think you agree with them. So if you disagree with what's going on in our state right now, you need to call and have your voice heard, or send emails or however you communicate. And also let our governor know that you support him and that he's, you know, doing a good job or doing the right thing. You don't need to be mean or anything, but they need to hear your dissatisfaction and your concerns and your questions, because that's the only way they're going to hear from us. And those people that answer the phone are there to take notes. So, and you don't have to give your name. If they say you have to give your name, say, I'm sorry, I don't give my name, because years ago, Scotty Walker, when he was recalled, all the people that signed the petitions in the recall, their names and the petitions were published online, and everybody's name was on there, and then it was connected to our circuit courts so that any employer could look up the person. I think since then somebody made them take it off, but I, you know, so they'll understand that you don't need to give your name in the state of Wisconsin with what's running it. And again, I just want to say one real quick thing. I warned Marjorie Taylor Greene that they were going to kick her like an old shoe to the side of the road as soon as they were done using her, because they do not have anything or respect for women in the Republican Party. So as soon as they're done using them, they go to the side of the road. So thank you, Matt. You have a good weekend. Thanks for the education. Appreciate it so much.
Yeah. Excellent call, Gene, as always. Thank you very much. Jack of Merrimack, my friend. Thanks for going. What's your mind, Jack?
Well, I would take a little bit of exception with what you said about You stated that our president is democratically elected, and I'm sure you're aware of it. Our president is not democratically elected, or Hillary Clinton would have been president instead of Donald Trump. Our president is appointed by a group called the Electoral College, which, again, I'm sure you're aware of. And that's why we need to get enough states that we have an Electoral College majority, because we'll never get a constitutional amendment to overturn this. But if we get enough states to sign, I think it's called the Interstate Popular Vote Compact, get enough states to do that where we have the majority of the Electoral College, then we will have a real democracy in terms of electing the president. That's my comment for the day.
Yeah, excellent comment, Jack. And I think you've raised an important point, but it needs a lot more context, so I'm going to give it right now. It is true that we have an Electoral College. And so therefore, for instance, Wisconsin gets 10 electoral votes, 8 for our congressional seats and 2 for the Senate. Wyoming gets 3, 1 because they have one congressman, but 2 for the Senate. California will get something like 58, 56 for the congressional seats and 2 for the Senate. The point is, Wyoming and California, one has upwards of 35 million people. The other one has 600,000 people. Each have 2 senators. And that was a deal made by the Continental Congress because the slave states were smaller and they were afraid they were going to left out in the cold. So that's very, very true. It does not change the fact that we do have a popular vote in all these states for president, which directs our electors. Now, one of the problems with Moore versus Harper was this Supreme Court, there's several of them, want to get rid of what I just said and have the electors picked by the gerrymandered legislatures. That would change things. Thank God it hasn't happened yet. We have to be eternally vigilant. The second thing, keep this in mind. Sometimes you have faithless electors. In Alabama in 1960, when Jack Kennedy was elected, he took Alabama. It was still a Democratic state. But several of the electors wouldn't vote for him because they thought he was too fancy. He was from Massachusetts and all that. Fortunately, he still had enough electoral votes to win. But in Hillary Clinton's case in 2016, there were some electors, I think it was Montana and elsewhere, or it was some state that she won against Trump, and maybe it was Nevada, and they refused to vote for her anyway, and it went to the U.S. Supreme Court. The U.S. Supreme Court said, no, you can't be a faithless elector. You can't do it on your own. You have absolutely got to follow the wishes of the electorate. But they didn't have all the nuts they have on the Supreme Court right now. So you're raising a very good point. We have an electoral college, and the compact you're talking about, as a number of states have said, we will all agree to have our electoral votes go for whoever gets the popular vote nationwide. That would be great, but none of the southern states are going to do it. So therefore, the northern states would say fine, and it'd be a one-way street. Excellent call. Thank you, as always. Going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. I see people on the lines. Do not hang up. I'll get back right after the break.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show. On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies tonight with a slight chance for scattered showers. Lows level off around 61. South winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow. Chance for scattered storms. Daytime highs approaching 78. Mainly clear sky tomorrow night. Lows level off around 58. Highs level off around 80. Sunday, under mainly sunny skies, 88. Monday, chance for scattered showers. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 79.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct on WGBW.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Bill LeShorewood, my friend, thanks for calling. Bill, what's in your mind today?
Hi, Matt. The Bureau of Labor Statistics has dropped its jobs report for the month. 209,000 jobs added in June, which was just about to be expected. There were some earlier reports earlier in the week from some private forecasters that were much higher than that and spooked the market yesterday, but the official statistics are right in line. The unemployment rate drifted down to 3.6%, which is slightly above the low point in April, which was a 50-year low. Over the last 3 months, the growth in jobs is 244,000 a month, which means that we're slowly moving into what we're looking for, which is that soft landing without a recession. And the Fed has predicted about maybe two more small rate hikes between now and the first of the year. And so we're on track for a soft landing. Anyway, thanks for the time and talk to you later.
That's terrific, Bill. And for everybody's edification, Bill is a professional economist. That's very, very important coming from Bill. 209,000 jobs that month alone, average of 244 each of the 3 months. Those are new jobs. The unemployment level down under 4% to about, 3.6? And, you know, you take a look at everything Biden did with hard infrastructure, soft infrastructure, the CHIPS Act, just landing the plane out of inflation, which was worldwide, absolutely worldwide after the pandemic. This guy is a master in many respects. Obviously, Franklin Roosevelt is the gold standard. This is the guy that changed America from the prior agrarian society where everybody was sitting in a cabin somewhere with no electricity and not enough food into a modern country. But Joe Biden, of any president since then, domestically, economically, you know, and foreign policy and standing up against the Ruskies and standing with Ukraine and putting together the coalition, which is like the Asian NATO against China. We couldn't ask for a better president. This is just terrific news. I got to share a story that kind of blew me away. I think it's kind of funny. I'm going to read you some names. You tell me if you recognize any of these names. Believe it or not, there are online and also in-person gambling companies that are taking bets and placing odds on who left the cocaine in the White House. Now, remember something, when George W. Bush was president, he admitted that he used cocaine. But the way he admitted it, they asked him as he was running for president, did you use cocaine? Answer, I never used cocaine after my father was elected vice president. His father was elected vice president in 1980. That's when he was 34 years old. Prior to that, he had. Nobody thinks that George W. Bush left any in the White House. And everybody in the Republican Party is going, oh, it's Hunter Biden, and all this. But here are the odds on other people having left it. And it absolutely blew me away. And you tell me if you recognize the names and if you would place this bet. 8-1. In other words, you put down $8. You put down $1 and you'd get $8 payoff. A Kansas City tight end, the Kansas City Chiefs tight end named Travis Kelce, it looks like. 10-1. You put down $1 and you get 10 back if you're right. And one of the Jonas brothers. This one blew me away. 12-1. You put down $1, get 12 back if you're right. Angelina Jolie. Apparently she was in the White House. How about this one? 14-1. Somebody from the Louisiana State University Lady Tigers. How about this? 14-1. But somebody from the UConn men's basketball team. This one, really, I didn't know the guy was in the White House. 16-1. Snoop Dogg. 20-1. This surprised me, too. Elton John. 25-1. Selena Gomez. This one really surprised me. 25-1. Patrick Mahomes. 33-1. Paris Hilton. I had no idea that all these, I knew the sports teams had been there. I didn't know Paris Hilton had been there. This one, these last three totally blew me away. 50-1. You put down $1, you get 50. Tom Brady. How about this one? And this could cause an international incident. 100-1. You put down $1, you get 100 back. Narendra Modi, he's the head guy in India, was in for a state dinner. I mean, for God's sake, you know, these gambling companies, for love of Pete. I mean, you know, and this one, 100-1. Andy Reid, the Kansas City Chiefs head coach. So this stuff's going on. People are putting money down, and they're not putting $1 down either. Some of them are putting $1,000 down, or they're putting a lot more down. You know, do they really think, do they really honestly think that any of these people have done this? I mean, I can't believe that they think that. I cannot believe that they think that. One last piece of snark. Donald Trump the other day posted the Obama's home address on social media, on Truth Social. In response, a guy shows up with two guns and hundreds of rounds of ammo. He was arrested because this is on Embassy Row. This is where all the ambassadors live, too. Name was Taylor Toronto. Taylor Toronto is the bad guy. He got the Obama family address from Trump on social media. Trump was doxing Obama. Trump threatens people. He's the one. Said that the Second Amendment people should take care, quote, take care of Hillary Clinton. And then when the Secret Service talked to him, I just meant they should vote. I just meant they should vote. He said that Hillary Clinton's bodyguards should be disarmed. At his rallies, there'd be a protester. He'd say, beat him up and I'll pay your legal fees. Beat him up and I'll pay your legal fees. He's an expert at covert violence, a covert just winking, wincing, suggesting, and then backing off like he did on January 6th. And other guys go up there, five get killed, and some of them go to jail for 15 years. And he doesn't leave any fingerprints. I think he left a lot of fingerprints. Coming to the end of the show. Great show. Great callers, as always. Matt Flynn Direct. We'll be back same time, same place on Monday. Have a great weekend. Stand by for Diamond Crute, Devil's Advocate. It's a great radio show. See you back on Monday. Signing off for today.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino.
Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show.
10 to 12,
As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute.
Weekdays from 4 until 6
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always ABC streaming News. On the Civic
I'm
Media
Rule.
App.